This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It is 7:15 and you're listening to the Evening Edition with Lynn and Sharmila. And now our next story is focused on essentially COVID-19 vaccines, equity and vaccine passports. So, a report by Code Blue essentially stated, and other headlines have been carrying this, that the approval for COVID-19 vaccines does not include the AstraZeneca vaccine made by certain biopharmaceutical companies. And this is in relation to the EU and who they're allowing to come to their shores.
So essentially that question of the vaccine passport, right? And the EU has been talking about this for a while, and they've right now come out and come out with the list of vaccines that they will approve for the purposes of being able to travel into the EU. And so far, South Korea's SK Bioscience, Thailand's Siam Bioscience, Japan's labs as well are all not are not essentially counted under their passport. Now, why this translates into an issue for us is that both South Korea and Thailand produce our AstraZeneca vaccines. Malaysia has already received these vaccines through the COVAX facility. And then Japan, of course, just donated 1 million doses of the AstraZeneca vaccine to Malaysia as well. So potentially, this might mean that Malaysians who receive the vaccine, the AstraZeneca vaccine, may not be able to travel within Europe because they are only recognizing the vaccines approved by the European medical authority. But I think this also brings about this question of why, because these vaccines have been recognized by the WHO.
Yes. So I think that's the larger question here, right? Why are some vaccines that are manufactured in certain countries deemed to not get approval, or, you know, what is exactly happening? This is also, of course, occurring amidst a larger context of there being concerns over vaccine equity as a whole, perceptions of different vaccines from different countries also taking a hit. Now, if we look at what the coordinating minister, Kari Jamaluddin, has said, he said that he'll seek further explanations from the EU on recognizing certain vaccines that do restrict Malaysians from traveling. He hopes that there would be no discrimination in terms of where the vaccine was produced, and emphasized, I think, something that is important to say, that the factories producing the vaccines, the AstraZeneca vaccines worldwide, were using the same formula. It's not as if the formulas were different. And as you rightly point out, Sharmila, they're recognized by the WHO. So we want to look into this. Let us know, though, what do you make of the EU essentially not having certain... How do I describe this? The EU not approving AstraZeneca vaccines that were made by biopharmaceutical companies situated in Asia. Essentially, that's what this is. You can call us 7733-2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. And to understand more, we're crossing over now to Dr. Tharani Loganathan, Public Health Specialist at the University of Malaya. Dr. Tharani, thank you so much for speaking with us.
Thank you for having me.
So could you help us understand the current situation over the vaccine passport issue in the EU?
Okay, so the European Union COVID-19 digital green pass was launched on 1st of July. And what it means is it's meant to ease travel for vaccinated and recovered patient people in and around EU. So basically, if you have been vaccinated over COVID-19, and you have a negative test result, or you've been recently recovered from COVID-19, your digital COVID certificate would be like proof and essentially like a passport for you to travel freely around Europe. Okay, so it is what we would call an immunity pass or a vaccine pass. Okay. I guess what the current situation or current controversy regarding this pass is the EU's medicines, European Medicines Agency, or the EMA, has only approved 4 of the 8 vaccines approved by WHO. So this is simply the Pfizer, the Moderna, the AstraZeneca, and the Johnson & Johnson vaccines. And out of the AstraZeneca vaccines, it's only certain vaccines that are being manufactured in Europe that have obtained approval. Okay, so this is the issue right now, because as you know, the world, a lot of countries in the world, mostly low and middle income countries, are getting their vaccine supply from COVAX, which is an initiative that is co-led by WHO, Gavi, and CEPI, Centers for Epidemic Preventions. Basically, that COVAX is supplied by AstraZeneca, produced at Serum Institute in India. And that's like 90% of the supply is from India. And none of these vaccines are approved for travel in Europe. So this is an issue because of, obviously, it's unfair. And as you rightly ask, why is this happening, right? What I understand from the press, including Code Blue's publication and the interviews with EMA, their statement is they have not received applications or have not authorized applications, marketing authorization applications. So they haven't actually done the regulatory process yet for these AstraZeneca vaccines. So, I mean, this agency, EMA, is a regulatory agency. So they have to make their assessments and it has not been done yet. So I understand that it's a bureaucratic process. They haven't done it. Maybe they haven't received the applications, or for some reasons it's delayed. So I wouldn't get too upset about it yet.
Yeah. Dr. Tarini, on that note, though, there has been criticism of the EU saying that this vaccine passport, as it currently is, unfairly penalizes those poor and low and middle income countries and further increases health inequity when it comes to COVID-19. What are your thoughts on this?
Yeah, okay. So I already explained that the Serum Institute of India produces like 90% of the vaccines for COVAX, and COVAX supplies... has promised to supply like 20% of the poorest countries with vaccines, including Malaysia. Malaysia is also a party to that. So what happens is it sort of gives a false perception of a double standard. Okay, so that means the EU it's almost like the EU is saying our vaccines are better than yours or safer than yours and so on. It shouldn't be that way. So I would see... The first, there's two major implications. First thing is vaccine hesitancy. Second is vaccine inequity. Vaccine hesitancy is because people have this, it just increases their doubt on the safety of the AstraZeneca vaccine, which is totally untrue. It's untrue that the vaccines produced by COVAX or in other countries are not of an inferior quality. That's not untrue. Okay. The other implication is vaccine inequity. Okay, so I mean, all over around the world, there is a global vaccine supply issue. It's not enough vaccines to go around, and there's an issue with distribution of vaccines. So I mean, the richer countries have got it first, and the rest of us are waiting, and there's issues with the distribution. So it really is unfair because this sort of undermines WHO and the COVAX's initiative to address this vaccine inequity. And it also sort of like undermines the confidence that people have on the vaccination program. And vaccines are life-saving, right? So, this could be done, could have been done much better.
And I mean, we spoke earlier and you mentioned that this is to do with a regulatory agency, which every country has, you know, but the WHO does have a list of vaccines that they recognize. Why don't we all just follow that list?
Yeah, I mean, this is an issue of sovereignty, right? So, I mean, like even all countries have their own regulatory agencies. Malaysia has one. WHO has one for global, but all countries have theirs. We cannot say we are just going to forget about, we just follow and then we forget about our rules and regulations and laws. I think countries need to be given that authority or sovereignty to make their own decisions. After all, it's their territory. But that being said, this is a global pandemic. Maybe the rules have to be looked at a bit more carefully. Okay, so that's why WHO and COVAX is actually pushing for EU to reconsider this and have come up with strong statements against this vaccine passport.
Dr. Tarini, you mentioned earlier, of course, that there isn't actually a difference in terms of where they are manufactured, in terms of the efficacy and so on. But does it matter in terms of its recognition as a viable vaccine?
So it's like this. So the regulatory agencies, they look at three things. They look at the vaccine's quality, efficiency, and safety. Okay, so safety and efficacy of these vaccines have all been proven. I mean, this is international randomized controlled trials globally, and also in real-world studies. I mean, real-world scenarios where these millions of vaccines have been rolled out. Okay, the issue of quality is linked with manufacturing. Okay, so it is important. It's an important factor for vaccines because their vaccines are biological product. Okay, produced in very stringent conditions and is given to to healthy people in preventing an illness. So it's not given to sick people, it's given to healthy people. So we all the regulatory agents have to be very careful in determining the quality of the vaccine. So they are within their rights to go through the stringent approval process for manufacturing agencies. That being said, the agencies that we are talking about here are globally recognized and I think should have no problems passing it. Serum Institute of India, the Thai, the South Korea, I mean, you know, so on. So if it's just a bureaucratic process, I think they should streamline this and go faster. Yeah.
I did want to ask, why has the AstraZeneca vaccine in particular faced so many roadblocks?
AstraZeneca vaccine actually is a safe and efficacious vaccine. It's a very good vaccine because it's also cheap, so it addresses the vaccine inequity issues. Just the very low risk of blood clots and safety issues that actually in the long, I mean, it's actually very minuscule. The risk is very minuscule. And in terms of bad publicity and maybe certain countries not approving the vaccine, it has a bad rap. But actually, it's an excellent vaccine, safe, efficacious, no issues, shouldn't have any issues here.
So as we move towards more countries introducing this idea of vaccine passports, what would be a fair and equitable way of implementing the system?
I would say actually vaccine passports or immunity passports are not something that is new. I mean, they've been, we use it for yellow fever, for instance. It's something that's been going on for a long time. But I wouldn't say it is fair or equitable. And I'll tell you why. Think about the global supply issues and the vaccine inequity in distribution. So you think about it, the vaccine passports are unfair because actually some people do not have the chance or do not have the choice on being vaccinated. So they would be unable to get ahead. And if it's a vaccine passport, would affect their their travel, maybe their livelihoods. It would affect trade of and maybe the economy getting back for certain countries that actually need it the most. Okay. The other thing which actually WHO talks about is how can we justify these vaccine passports? Actually, we know the vaccines are available. We know they are safe and effective, but they are actually effective against preventing death and severe illness. There is very limited evidence on effectiveness against infection or transmission. Okay, so it is not going to actually help you having a vaccine passport. I don't see the benefit for a country. Yeah. So that's it. Yeah.
Dr. Tharani, thank you so much for speaking with us.
You're welcome.
That was Dr. Tharani Loganathan, Public Health Specialist at the University of Malaya. We are just about to head to the 7:30 news. And then after that, everyone's a critic. Keep it here, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my, BFM 89.9, the business station.